the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is redesigning or designing an effective IT governance model. And our guests for today's show are Lynn Lawton, Jeff Johnson, and Pete Gibson. Lynn is the International Vice, International President of ISACA and the IT Governance Institute. Good morning, Lynn.
Morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks, over here in the UK on a nice sunny day.
Oh, so that's awesome. Now, we also have Jeff Johnson, who's the Vice President of IT Infrastructure at Constellation Energy. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to participating in the show.
Thank you so much again for accepting the invitation here. And now, finally, we have Pete Gibson, who's the Senior Vice President of IT at Wyndham International. Hi, Pete.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. So we have an esteemed panel here, and I hope we'll have a great show. So have you been all keeping busy?
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah, so, we were talking just before going out on the air that, yeah, it's, life is tough, but I guess we still enjoy it. That's why we still have the job. So coming to effective IT governance model, I mean, the topic was chosen with an idea that what is that magic formula, if at all there is one that exists, which will allow an organization to become dynamic, to become agile, and be still effective, and also have the predictability of results that we all want. Can we get all of this at one time, Lynn?
I think we can. IT governance isn't a straitjacket. However you implement it, it has to be have the right controls and processes to meet the business needs. So a stable business environment will have a different solution for governance than a dynamic one. And that would be different in terms of the policies they put in and the risk focus and therefore where the focus of management goes. For example, a bank's focus would be very different from the construction industry.
So can we really eat the cake and have it too at the same time?
I would agree with Lynn's comment. I think, you know, my phrase is appropriate rigor. And if you can align to the business in a way that's appropriate with appropriate discipline and rigor, it actually helps you speed up.
So was this Jeff I was talking to?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you see that, you use the phrase appropriate rigor. Is that like a pace that you're referring to?
In our particular case, what we're doing is we're using ITIL 3, which and we're adapting that and adopting it incrementally in the most important areas for our IT organization and expanding sort of from that initial implementation. Appropriate rigor is whatever is appropriate to the, as Lynn alluded to, your business and the culture of your organization. And it will be different by organization, but it's nice to start with a framework, whether it's ITIL or COBIT or, you know, Six Sigma or whatever framework it is. And then you have to figure out what's most important to your organization, how do you align to the business, and how do you drive what is appropriate. And therein lies the art versus the science.
How do you think, Pete?
Say again, Sinjog?
Yeah, I'm saying, what do you think about this? Because we are trying
I think Jeff is absolutely right on the money. When you're talking a 30 to 50 person IT organization, the governance you have in place is different there than running a 300 to 1,000 person IT organization. The KPIs that you look at, how you institute governance, are totally different. So if you start looking at the best practices of ITIL, ITIL 3, just a great philosophy, very much integrated processes, works very well for the larger organization. But if you try to put a heavy ITIL or CMMI process on a 15 or 20 person development organization or infrastructure organization in case of ITIL, you might be doing more harm to the business than good. So to Lynn's first point, you've got to get governance that matches the size of the organization and your business needs. Not saying you don't need governance, but you need it at the right level.
Now, with this ITIL and COBIT and COSO and Six Sigma, these are at such a high level, they almost look like philosophies or schools of thought versus a framework or a best practice. And you have to customize, literally you have to pull it down to that 1,000 feet view or just kind of do things at that level for it to be doing any good to you. Would you agree on this?
I think they are good, but you've got to get it in at the right level. If you look at a CMMI, you look at ITIL, those are basic generic processes and frameworks. But they really need to be, as Lynn pointed out, they really need to be customized to that business. You got a different set of business needs, a separate set of business requirements. The IT organizations are different. There are different levels of maturity. There are different level sizes. So those frameworks really need to be customized to that appropriate organization.
I agree. There are no two COBIT installations alike. For example, the emphasis that people put on the acquiring an element and implementing domains is very different depending on how much the environment is changing and how many new systems are coming in.
Jeff?
I think that everything that Pete and Lynn have said is true. It ultimately is about how you take that framework and implement it in the context of your organization. I think it's also to bring the rubber meets the road. To some extent, you are, at least for us, it is how we meld this into our existing processes that were driven and defined just a few years ago by SOX. So it's not a pure philosophy or a pure environment. It's again being very pragmatic about doing what you need to do to drive your effectiveness up and your productivity up and align to the business more tightly. And that really does take focus. I think the key is that if you have the right people focused on trying to figure that out and then trying to institute it into your processes and your culture with appropriate sponsorship, you're probably going to get into a cycle of continuous improvement.
Now, the follow-up question, and you used the word, the governance or where the rubber meets the road, that's actually when we are dealing with systems. If suppose we take an example of a manager of a given application or a system that he or she is managing, and they know that, yes, there is some IT governance or some sort of IT governance that has been put in place. Does that automatically give them the roadmap? Or is this something which is, you can say, a specific exercise or very conscious exercise that is to be carried out by people at the top level that this is translated into something an application manager understands and is confined to? So that if you tell them too much, that is like OD, like an overdose of knowledge or information which is not exactly related to them for their day-to-day job. Lynn?
I think there is a requirement for education, and probably one of the most consistent pieces of feedback we get from people using COBIT, for example, is that one of its greatest benefits is everybody's looking at the same framework, so the business people and the IT people and even the auditors are using the same language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Lynn's got a very good point there. Not only is it where the rubber meets the road, but I don't think you should confuse governance with organization behavior modification. So you lay in a good governance system, and it doesn't mean that it's permeated through 1,000 individuals in the IT organization. It doesn't mean that it's permeated through your business. So you got to really come up with strategies in your governance implementation as to how you're going to modify the behavior of individuals and the organizations to achieve your governance model.
So does it percolate down to the very bottom, or you're saying while we will have this governance model in place, we should just deal with that at that top level, and there should be something separate which is to be done with the line managers?
I think it's all of the above. I mean, to really make this stuff stick, at the end of the day, it almost becomes embedded in the culture. That takes typically, you know, from where organizations often start to achieving that nth degree in a larger organization is a multi-year journey.
And to do that, you have to do a lot of things well. You have to have appropriate, you know, good executive sponsorship. You have to have good training and bottom-up knowledge transfer. You got to have good processes, obviously, and then probably tools and metrics to measure and show that you're making the progress on that journey that you expect to.
So what you're
I agree with that, because I think in a large organization where everyone's an IT user, then your weakest link is the weakest user. They will all need some sort of education depending on what they're doing and what they've got access to, and if you don't do that, you're leaving yourself at risk.
Yeah, and that's right. I think that designing governance is one phase, implementing governance is another phase, but governance can't be implemented from the corner office. We put when I launched governance in organizations or change governance, whatever, we spend a lot of time and, of course, documenting the governance, but then we bring in the entire organization and we train them on the new governance. We talk about it. We understand what the KPIs are going to be so that as you launch, you can start measuring the effectiveness through KPIs of your governance. And, you know, one thing that I think I got to reiterate what Jeff said is really true is, when you first launch it, it kind of goes slow. It's a journey. But by a year into it or so, boy, this starts permeating in places you never thought about the first time when you implemented it. So he's right on the money when he says it's a journey.
And I think, you know, what Pete and Lynn are alluding to around metrics and reporting is a way you measure your progress. I think the other key point that I would like to bring out is that you don't have to implement a whole framework all at once. It's not a big bang kind of scenario. You can take pieces that you know where you've got problems, specific problems. Perhaps it's introducing change to production. Perhaps it's managing your portfolio of applications. Whatever your key problems are, and you can start to address those issues specifically, show value, and then move forward. And that's when people start to see progress and value, both informally and formally through metrics, that's when you're really on the road.
Now, when we look at, like, when we saw down, like below IT governance, or maybe we were drilling down, we were looking at system governance and how that gets impacted if you have a good governance model or IT governance. And then now let's look up, let's roll it up and to see, while we talk about business IT alignment, would there be an alignment of some sort of a connection? Will there be one between the business governance related policies and controls that you put in place versus the IT governance? Lynn?
Well, there absolutely should be an alignment. The IT Governance Institute did a survey earlier this year where one of the questions we asked was, how good is the alignment between IT strategy and business strategy and IT governance and corporate governance? And we found that it varied a lot across industries, but for organizations where IT is absolutely key to the business strategy, like the communications industry, the financial services industry, the two were very close, like 72% said it was good.
Pete?
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that we've done is we have looked at all of our touch points with the business. So we looked at one as a capital process, and we realign IT capital projects to go in line with the overall organization strategy planning process. When it comes down to our infrastructure and operations, where are those SLAs? And it's okay to have the SLAs, but we actually wrote in to our governance that we will be reporting out to the business on a quarterly basis in business review meetings how well we are achieving the SLAs, what are their strategies going forward, so we can always keep on trying to make sure we got alignment with the business. And by mapping out all your touch points and how your processes affect those, we've been able to achieve better alignment with the business. I'm not so sure you can completely be 100% in alignment, because the business needs to be dynamic and flexible, but you need to be right behind where they are in their strategy and their thinking with where you're going to go implement in IT.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and listen to Jeff as well about what he thinks with respect to the link between IT governance and business governance. And let's follow up with a question, which whether this link is a dotted line link or it's a hard link. And if it is just a dotted line link, why should that be? Because we have to have a very close alliance between IT and business. So why do we not have the link between, the hard link between business and IT? Let's talk more when we come back. Please stay here.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. We are talking about redesigning or designing an effective IT governance model, and we have Lynn Lawton, Jeff Johnson, and Pete Gibson with us on the show. And we were discussing about the link between business and IT governance, and Jeff was the one to share his thoughts. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I'd say, you know, we really started as an organization to march down this path in a more formal way with the introduction of Sarbanes-Oxley, and I think that was a very healthy process in retrospect for both the business and for IT, in terms of defining a way in which we can talk about how we stay aligned around some of the IT functions and how it supports the business. I think beyond that, where we're trying to evolve to is to really start to drive the capital planning process and the capital dollars and make sure that they are flowing into projects that are truly aligned around business priorities. That's easier said than done. It is something it's a destination we have not yet achieved, but we are actively working towards that to more tightly align with the business around how we spend capital dollars in terms of being more strategic and helping transform the business while at the same time doing the necessary refresh and operational stuff that we always have to do. You know, between hard link and soft link, I think it's both. We're implementing better process and better tools to allow us to align, for example, the HP Legacy Mercury PPM suite, which is a tool, project and portfolio management, which we're also creating a PMO that will allow us to drive that alignment in a more predictable way up front around projects and make sure we're spending our time and our effort and our resources in the right places. But on the soft link, it's also building the credibility with the business to have a seat at the table, to have the relationships, to build a culture of collaboration. So I think you have to do a lot of, again, it's doing a lot of things well, and doesn't happen instantaneously. It's a focus that you have to bring on a multi-year basis to achieve some specific ends.
Lynn, based on the organizations that you may have seen as part of ISACA or other you know, areas where you may have spoken to a lot of people at the top level, what do you think is the issue which prevents them from being able to have such a strong connection with respect to IT governance with the business? Like, you know, whether business governance and IT governance are not tied, or should they be tied in the first place as closely?
I think in many cases, the main difference between a place where they're very aligned and a place where they're not is how important IT is for the business strategy. So in, for example, the retail areas, in telecommunications, generally speaking, IT and business are really, really close, and they work very closely together, and IT goes to the business with ideas on how to use the new technology and understand the business and have a great in-depth understanding of the business. In other industries where IT isn't so key, they tend to be farther apart.
Now, Pete, question for you. You come from a hospitality industry, and they are definitely trying to use technology to get that cutting edge, because it has been seen that it's only so much you can squeeze out of a business process efficiency-related work. Then you have to use IT as the catalyst, which will kind of possibly provide you some unique ways to create more offerings or come up with some more things which will allow you a competitive edge. So do you think you would be as far removed from business strategy or business alliance, business and IT alliance with respect to governance?
No, we need to be very tightly aligned with the business. Technology, you know, understanding of the consumer, understanding of the customer, what their needs are is best interpreted by the business instead of IT. Even we were going down our ITIL roadmap, as you start looking at services going forward, the worst group to develop this is the IT group. It needs to be done in conjunction with the business. So that is paramount. Where we have found issues with a tight coupling with the business is really on the infrastructure side of the house. As the business is trying to create strong products to take to the customers and the consumers, it doesn't always leave room for modernization or the capital dollars for strong modernization to help you take you to the next technology platform that's going to set you up for that next set of products. And so we always try to harbor some amount of resources to go take us up to the next level in technology while servicing our customers with all their capital needs and other project needs.
So let's look at the governance, IT governance being used for innovation, because, you know, this is a unique way to look at it. While IT governance is all about bringing predictability, and if you want to innovate, that it's inherently bringing some uncertainty because you're trying a new thing, something you don't know about what's going to happen. So can you have IT governance lead you to more innovation or, in fact, business transformation? Jeff?
Absolutely. I think, in fact, it's one of the most necessary components. If you're going to really help the business drive its adaptiveness and agility in the marketplace and really transform its ability to compete, you have to work together to define the things where you're going to invest dollars to quote-unquote transform the business and try some things that have potentially some risk associated with them. Now, what you have to do is establish a methodology and an approach for how you prototype, pilot, and embed not only new business approaches or processes, but also the technology underneath that enables that business transformative objective that you're trying to achieve. And I think it really is taking kind of this is something that IT can help bring to the table in terms of, because we think all the time in terms of how do we use methodologies like production pilots, small prototypes to manage the risk of new endeavors. And that's something I think sometimes we can bring to the table with the business. But to the extent that you can link new technology implementations to strategic transformative events and do so in a risk-managed way, then you're probably bringing value to the business.
Pete?
Yeah, I agree. I think Jeff again has hit it just right. As you look at governance and transforming the business, you've got the capital, which is really looking at things like IRR, looking at ROI of these futuristic innovation type things. But then you come back to the practicality of it. And as everyone is fully aware of, there is really a technology race for the hotel room right now in the hospitality industry. Everyone wants to provide something to the customer that's going to endear brand loyalty to them. What that is, no one really knows. So the killer app is yet to be defined. But as you go through your process to innovate, it's exactly as Jeff said. We go out and we will test, we will pilot, and while we look at what we see on surveys, ROIs, and our predictive KPIs, what we actually see in the uptake of the technology could be totally different. So in our process, in our governance, we go do prototyping, but we also are very reasonable and have solid exit criteria to say if it doesn't make it, we will end that technology and go on to another one.
I think that's a real key point. Having the exit criteria and knowing when to kill an initiative is important.
Mm-hmm. Lynn?
I think there's a lot of room for improvement in this area. In the IT governance survey that I mentioned earlier, one of the questions was, how often does IT take the opportunity to tell the business about new business opportunities that were enabled by new technology? And only 18% of the respondents said, always. And even if you take in the regularly answers as well, that's only 60%. So IT's got a way to go in keeping the business informed of what's possible. But I pick up on what Peter and Jeff have talked about. One of the things that I'm seeing people implementing at the moment is the ITGI's ValIT methodology. And that's helping quite a lot in taking a portfolio approach to investments, and helping people to identify which ones are good ones and which ones are bad ones, and picks up on the point that a part of the portfolio is the existing system and how long is it going to last and how long is it going to meet the business needs and when's the right time to kill it. You're absolutely right that killing projects is just as important as kicking them off.
Now, dealing with exceptions, which is a life that we live, and you will always see that somebody proposes a best practice or a framework, and you'll always find something which has a tendency to not follow those guidelines, or somehow you cannot implement the standard framework, even if you want to tweak it for that given exception. Or would we say that there should be a guideline which should be as encapsulating for a given organization, which you can create or tailor make for yourself, which will actually handle all exceptions? Would that not be a monumental effort? Is it worth your time to literally look for every possible exception that could ever come our way and try to deal with it in that governance model and then implement it? Pete?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I go and put governance in the various organizations that I've been, and just to speak rather frankly, governance does not advocate an individual to stop thinking. And what I mean by that is you can never write such a strong governance model that you're going to be able to think about all the permutations or all the different issues. And so I always look at governance as a supportive framework for people to go do their jobs. And it was stated earlier, and I think in our first question, is governance needs to provide that framework to empower people to do a better job. It sets a floor of expectation, but then empowers them to go do the job. But it still comes back to knowledge workers thinking about what they're going to go do. So in a system development life cycle, I can't write every permutation of that process that's going to solve every technology risk that may arrive. So I can't advocate the individual from thinking and doing their job.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, I use the phrase appropriate rigor in the first question, and as Pete was saying, I think that it does relate back to that question. If you've gotten there, I think, if your governance model
frees people up to be actually be more creative in how they solve business problems because they have the guidelines within which to operate. I think from my perspective, where we're focusing, are there a few key areas where we know we have issues, and then if we can, and it really is in how do we align our capital dollars up front into which projects we're going to invest in so that we're investing together with the business and then we have joint accountability and ownership. That's one area. Another area that we're really focused on is it's a traditional area, but it's how do we introduce change into production? If we can manage that better, we can deliver higher quality IT and also, frankly, improve the morale of our teams because they won't be racing around to put fires out all the time. So just that's an example of just a couple of areas where we're trying to instill more governance. And then in the in-between spaces, you have lots of openness and lots of flexibility and lots of creativity.
Yeah. I tell this story from my governance days or from my government days. And I spent a lot of time in governments and projects. And it was there, it was almost every third or fourth month I was answering the question that says, Pete, what are you doing to be more nimble like commercial industry instead of this very stoic process and very stoic governance? You know, and when I got on the commercial side of the house for my career, it was pretty funny. There, the focus is to be predictable, repeatable, and reliable because we don't want to live in chaos. And so finding the right governance model is extremely important.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and listen to Lynn Lawton, who is the International President of ISAC and IT Governance Institute, who's with us today. And since she comes from a place where, which is basically providing these high-level governance models to organizations worldwide, how are they looking at exception handling and how has that been incorporated, if nothing else, just like a framework or a set of guidelines to handle exception in an organization when they're tailor-making their own governance model using maybe what ISACA provides or other models provide. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the Internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. 972-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. We were talking about the exception handling, which may be provided as a guideline in IT governance, and even if it is, you know, how well is it helping organizations to be able to handle exceptions, and should we be having something in our governance model, even after the design or redesign, that it handles every exception? So, Lynn, what do you see in the world out there?
I don't think it's possible to plan for every exception. I don't even think it's worth the effort it would take to do that planning. I agree with Pete and Jeff that however detailed your guidelines, you've always got to leave some sort of freedom for the people to do their job and to adapt to the circumstances they find themselves in within a framework of rules about what they can and can't do and what scope there is to flex that.
Now, would there be in the governance models that are available, the frameworks like COBIT or Six Sigma or ITIL, are they telling you how to best at least scope out what the exception is and how do you factor that in when you're trying to design maybe the ones which you want to handle in the framework?
Well, no one has implemented COBIT in full because they pick the bits that are most relevant to their business. And within those domains, they pick the things that are the highest risk, usually, and go for those. COBIT isn't prescriptive, and neither is ITIL. It highlights the things that you need to think about. It highlights the link back to the business on what sort of business objectives those IT processes will support so that the business understands why you're trying to do it. And it gives you some ideas on the sort of things that you can do about it, but it doesn't say you must always do this. So there's plenty of room for organizations to implement it in whatever way suits them and the way they want to do business and where their risks are.
Now, with a lot of businesses out there, organizations, we do see that the executive management keeps hammering on bringing innovation, bringing about business value, and things of that nature, and at the same time, they have to handle multiple technology-related implementation initiatives where it gets very complex. So is there something in the IT governance which will allow a little more breathing room for the IT leaders out there who have to go through this and face the music? Jeff?
I think we are definitely struggling, I would say, to get a handle on how we manage the demand for increased business agility and the demand for IT to assist in that transformation, while at the same time technology is rapidly changing and driving much higher complexity in terms of how we deliver systems. So, for example, virtualization or data center power constraints or service-oriented architectures, et cetera. So the question for us is, again, partly it's an expectations management issue in the governance process. How do we align to the most important business priorities and being realistic about how many of them can we really take on from a resource perspective? And hopefully choosing those in such a way that you're not only driving business objectives, but you're also potentially using those to drive forward the IT innovation aspect as well, and it's adopting technology in an appropriate manner to support the business. The last part I would say is that we've recognized that if we're going to continue to deliver great IT at declining unit cost, we have to invest in ourselves. We have to invest in IT, and we are investing in not only an ITIL 3 process framework, but also the tools and technology underneath it. For us, it's the HP suite, which was legacy Mercury, legacy Peregrine, to allow us to have better tools and technology to measure, manage, and drive some of that continuous improvement cycle and do so in a way that we can use our people more productively with higher efficiency.
Pete?
Yeah, I agree. You gotta start at some place. And governance is, you got the large frameworks, but then you can get down to, as Jeff alluded to, governance as far as your virtualization. When and how do you set up your virtualized environment? So So it all comes together. We have an initiative underway to recraft this organization going down a service-oriented architecture. And the different pieces of governance that we're having to lay in isn't mind-boggling, but I could lay it in all over the place. But I need to rely, start in the pieces that make sense for the organization. So it's the system development lifecycle. It's the architecture board. Is based on continuing. Then once we get that spun up, I have a continuous improvement team that continues on that governance, and so we can start go focusing, or we can start focusing in another area.
Len, do you see any value there from IT governance if they are trying to manage the complexity that is getting introduced with different IT or rapid changes in IT?
Well, I don't know anyone who's got the full answer. I've seen people implementing ValIT, trying to work out what the return on investment of various different elements of the IT portfolio might be. And I've seen lots of different ways of calculating that. And it's one of the things that helps people to understand a bit better where the priorities are, because obviously if you worked out what your return on investment is, you'd want to go for the biggest ones. I absolutely agree that resource constraints mean that many of the things the business says they want can't be delivered, or at least not immediately, so, and that a way of prioritizing is very important.
So now when we are trying to actually put this in place, yes, we have this great big thick book that we can come up with, which is tailor-made to our organization for IT governance, and we have to start getting it implemented. We have usually seen any such framework, whether it's for compliance or for governance, people just kind of almost yawn at some of these. And when it comes to actual implementation, that's where the devil is. So what is to be done by the IT leaders that they get the right type of support from the executive management? But then going further, when we are talking down the chain of command, what should be the incentives or the rewards or the penalties which should be put in place for this to actually take shape and get involved and become the fabric of the organization? Jeff, you want to take this?
Sure. I think at the end of the day, we and I think we all touched on this in earlier questions, implementing an IT governance process is a journey. It is ultimately about changing the culture of not only IT, but the business and how you work together to be a more adaptive, agile team. And I think, you know, again, how you implement incentives or penalties or however, you know, carrots and sticks, want to phrase it, 3X, 3Y, is going to change by business and by organization in terms of the culture of your particular space that you're operating in. We tend to have, if you will, the old theory Y. We tend to focus on carrots, not so much on sticks. Our view is that we hire smart people who are trying to do the right thing, typically. There are obviously always exceptions, and you manage those as you need to. But if we provide good information around where we're at, where we're going, and then some of the things that Pete was mentioning around KPIs and metrics that allow us to say these are important measures to tell us if we're on track or not and what we need to do about it, and you provide that information, our philosophy is that that people will take that and try to manage their themselves to be successful within the context of what you're trying to achieve from a governance perspective.
Now, let me ask you this. When I am supposed at the, like, you know, floor level or the mid-management level, and we get a directive of something like this, while we have to adhere and we have to get a paycheck, so we'll kind of follow rules, but then there is one side of me that would ask, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
How do you define that?
Well, I'll take that one on.
Yeah,
let me give you a case in point. And when I first came to my present organization, I was out in the data center over a holiday period. And I was just amazed at the number of incidents during that holiday period, to the fact that the sysadmins were up almost every night working on systems. And those were my first couple of weeks here. And that's when I started the governance, started laying in governance, started looking at infrastructure, what is our mean time for repair, our availability, how are we putting the systems in place, and so forth. And then as I go back to my different pieces of the organization, I like to have skip meetings and talk to the tech. I understand what the front line is really seeing on the daily basis. And this one sysadmin came to me and he says, you know, I was just at a vendor conference with people from the same industry, all Unix admins, and they were telling me stories about how their organization is in chaos. And for me, our organization has improved quite a bit over the last couple of years, and we don't live in chaos anymore. So the thing that the governance models normally do for the individual associate is it allows them to come to work on a daily basis, know what they are going to expect, know how to get things done. From a management point of view, no CEO has ever come to me and said, Pete, you need to lay in governance this year as your goal. What they always come to me and they say is, you need to be inefficient with the dollars you have. And we're always under that pressure. And I always look at governance as those tools to help me put my arms around a large organization, understand what's going on, and help me drive efficiency. And I'll close on this one little point here is that in my system development lifecycle process improvement group, their mission isn't to give me more process. Their mission is to help me to develop or refine processes that's going to help me get a quality product out the door under a quick time-to-market condition. So that is their whole goal, not more governance. They help us, and when we can achieve that latter goal, we are a more effective IT organization for the business.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back, and let's listen to Lynn on what she sees out there when the actual IT governance models are implemented. How are we dealing with the human resource who are actually the ones who are going to be doing the work there, and what kind of incentives, rewards, and penalty programs that she's seen organization put in place, what works and what doesn't. Let's stay tuned. Please be right back, and we'll be right back and talk more.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, welcome back. We are talking about the incentives, rewards, and penalties which are required for successful adoption of the IT governance model, which we may have very cautiously developed for our own organization. So, Lynn, when you kind of poll across multiple organizations, how they have implemented, the ones who have not been able to implement, what happened with them?
Well, what most people start with is something like a RACI chart, setting out who's responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed about various different tasks so that it's clear to everyone who should be doing something and what they're responsible for. And then linked to that, I've seen people using benchmarks with other organizations, for example, or various different sorts of maturity models so that they can define where they want to be on the maturity scale and where they are at the moment and how much movement there needs to be to get where they to the target position. I've seen people using the balanced scorecard so that it's not entirely driven by cost. And some people even use audit, internal audit or audit from a consultant to measure where they are and how well they're doing. Generally speaking, on the incentive side, it's to do with bonuses. So most of it's financial. It might be other benefits as well. And what Peter mentioned is just making it easier for people to do the jobs. It's quite an incentive.
Now, last question, or maybe if you have more time, we may ask one more. But then, basically, who is accountable for this? This is literally touching every part of the organization. Should there be or could there be one neck to grab? Jeff?
I think ultimately, if there was a single throat to choke, it is ultimately the CIO and to some extent the very top leadership of IT. Because at the end of the day, if you're in a modern organization, you have to have some level of governance strategy to make sure that you are focused on the right priorities with the business, that you're allocating your scarce resources in an efficient and efficient manner that's understood by everyone, it's transparent, and that you have enough governance, as Pete alluded to, that people can be effective in their jobs, because ultimately everybody wants to get up, add value at work, and then be able to come home at a reasonable hour and achieve some of their personal objectives as well. And if you do governance well, ultimately people are going to be more effective in their jobs, and they're going to have time to take their vacations and have some time off. So I think ultimately IT management is about managing scarce resources in a dynamic environment, and to do that well, you have to implement appropriate governance, appropriate rigor that's sensitive to the context of your business and the culture of your organization. If you're doing that well, that probably is one of the top jobs of being an IT leader.
Pete?
Yeah, I would agree. I'm not sure anyone, I think Lynn has hit this numerous times, but I don't think anyone has this down exactly right at this point. I can't lay in the entire COBIT model. It's pretty heavy. I've been laying in different pieces of it. It is a journey. You spend weeks and months developing your governance model or a piece of the governance model. You launch it. You train everybody on it. And then at that point, you've just achieved awareness. There's a change in the process. But it doesn't mean you have adherence to it. So it is a journey from that point forward. How are you going to measure it, and how are you going to drive it forward? So, yeah, I agree 100% with Jeff.
Len, very quickly.
I'd say the responsibility rests ultimately with the board, who are responsible for the whole enterprise governance. And IT governance is only a part of that, an important part, but still just a part. So I'd say the ultimate neck is the CEO, and generally that's delegated to the CIO. I agree with Jeff.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Lynn, Jeff, and Pete, for sharing your thoughts about how organizations can actually become agile and also efficient and have predictable results if they could design an effective IT governance model and redesign as needed. Now, in today's context, if we were to look at organization as a ship, then IT should be the engine room, and that is if they don't know where the business wants to go and what it wants, then they would not have the things going well. And if they don't have their act together as IT department, then just God bless us, you know. And we cannot do one big bang IT governance model or a framework development and implementation and achieve the desired results. There should be a phased effort, as we discussed, with explicit executive management sponsorship and also one neck to grab or a throat to choke where there's some accountability. Even if we complete this Herculean effort, we cannot sit back and relax. Sorry, that's not going to happen. There will be continuous changes, and the IT governance model needs to be always tweaked and even redesigned in case of M&A and other kind of disruptive changes. How effective is your organization's IT governance? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjay Gaul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gaul next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.